I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime. All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I'm here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, providing a safe space for independent thinkers out there. You may be required today to break some old mindsets. I've pretty much got probably an hour's worth of material here just from watching two clips of Kenneth Stokes, the city councilman in Jackson, the longtime political Jackson political establishment guy. I don't know what Stokes' deal is. I don't know the man. Maybe he has got just a beautiful heart that cares about his community, but he's so far off the mark in helping anything on a bigger scale. He may do some things to help some of his constituents. I mean, I want to cut the guy a break. Politicians never really impress me, but boy, is he doing some damage. I remember watching the drive for the medical marijuana ballot initiative. And there were some people that were involved in that in different ways, or supporters of it, that were so bad on the issue. You know, the idea was to get this plant-based medicine to people in Mississippi who had really horrible conditions that regular pharmaceuticals did not help. It is, in my opinion, on the side of angels to provide small children who have got horrible seizure disorders with a natural medication that helps them go from 300 seizures a week to none or one. And I remember seeing people that were supportive of the measure that were just really horrible for the cause. As you're trying to get a conservative state to just unpucker a little bit and allow people to have natural plant-based medicine in Mississippi. And I would watch these people who were really poor spokesmen for the idea because they didn't speak well on the issue. They actually turned people off. And I thought, gosh, their heart might be in the right place, but their messaging is so bad. They're so counterproductive. They were so bad in some cases that I thought they may be actually sent by the opposition to kill medical marijuana in this state. That's what I think Kenneth Stokes could be. Is it possible that he's like controlled opposition to try to stop any progress in his community, to keep people under control or dependency or something? I don't know. As I say, it didn't take many clips. It never does. When you see Kenneth Stokes, obviously there's all kinds of things wrong with his messaging, but we'll talk about that. And in preparation for that, in just a second, I have my quotes of the day. I ended up hearing on a podcast something about Booker T. Washington, a couple of things about, I don't know that much about Booker T. Washington, but what I heard in this podcast was pretty impressive, and so I decided that I'd do my quotes of the day, starting with Booker T. Washington, somebody who was a real thinker, a black man at the time that black community needed leadership or thought leaders, I guess is a better way to say it, thought leaders out of slavery. And so I looked up Booker T. Washington quotes, and holy cow, I had to parse it down to just these four quotes. He had a ton of really good quotes. I'm going to have to do more research into Booker T. Washington. Sounds like he was an American hero. Hopefully I don't find things that I don't like, but anyway, here's some quotes here. This is Booker T. Washington. There is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. And this is why, really, problems are never solved by politicians, because they don't want them solved. Republicans love to campaign on getting rid of Obamacare. Got a lot of money into their coffers, got them a lot of votes over the years. Obviously, they didn't really care about getting rid of it. It's just like wars are not meant to be won. War on poverty is not meant to be won. The war on drugs is not meant to be won. The war on terror is not meant to be won. They are all just things. They want to keep them as issues. I would submit even immigration is probably an issue that most people really don't want solved. They want to keep it as the issue. And it's certainly the case when it comes to racial stuff, as we'll get into in a little bit. Another Booker T. Washington quote, "I would permit no man, no matter what his color might be, to narrow and degrade my soul by making me hate him." Booker T. Washington said, "Political activity alone cannot make a man free. Back of the ballot, he must have property, industry, skill, economy, intelligence, and character." And the last quote of the day here from Booker T. Washington, "No greater injury can be done to any youth than to let him feel that because he belongs to this or that race, he will advance in life regardless of his own merits or efforts." Yeah, I'm going to do some additional research and try to find a good autobiography on Booker T. Washington, because the man seems like what we need today. So we're going to get into what I ran across here with Kenneth Stokes. I mean, it was pretty amazing stuff to watch. Just, you know, when you really can think through an issue, when you can see it, as I do as an outsider now, I guess maybe in race relations, can you possibly be an outsider? Well, you know, I can lay claim that I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, so it's easy for me to comment on political stuff. But I am a white man. So maybe it's harder to say I come from the outside on this, but I do seem to come to this with some level of logic. I don't know. We're going to talk about it when we come back. I'll take a quick break and we'll get into this. It all started with, I think I saw the news on Friday where Kenneth Stokes was asking for a ceasefire in Jackson. Now, on its face, any community person that's got a platform calling for people to stop shooting each other, that seems like that's a good thing to a degree. Doesn't go far enough, but at least it could be a positive thing. But boy, he couldn't get through two or three sentences without throwing something in there that just shows how far off base he is and how he will never actually solve any problems in Jackson. We'll get to that when we come back. Stay with us.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
It's a pretty good clue that you've got a problem in your society with violence when you've got a community spokesperson. I every time the word leader starts coming out of my mouth, I pull it back. These people are not, should not be, I don't know if they are to you, they should not be leaders. Anyway, I digress. It sticks in my throat. When somebody in your community stands up and calls for a ceasefire, you know things aren't going real well. You know, ceasefire should be used for things like, every time I hear ceasefire, I think of Beirut. Some war zone somewhere. But Kenneth Stokes came out on Friday and called for a ceasefire. I'm going to read this quote from Booker T. Washington one more time because I started thinking about it. I got a visual of this. Kenneth Stokes always wearing the hat with his name on it. Somebody needs to do the man a favor and give him a logo or something. The big block letters, there's too much text up there. I mean, unless it is just pure, it's basically a billboard for him, but he could make it a little bit jazzier. Booker T. Washington said there's a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. And Kenneth Stokes goes in front of the media in a hat that says Stokes, just to make sure that if you're not looking at the chyron at the bottom of the screen, you know who's talking. So he called for a ceasefire, which on his face, I mean, anybody that says, hey, guys, can we stop shooting each other? I guess you could twist that as a positive thing. But it didn't get him two or three sentences in where he made this a racial issue. And he said, if the killings were happening in Belhaven or Fondren, the National Guard or the Highway Patrol would be in there to stop it. Now, I'm really not sure about Kenneth Stokes. I don't know the man. Maybe he's got a good heart. He's just doesn't really think logically. I don't know. I don't know how to parse him. I always hate to make judgments about anybody's intentions or their intellect or anything like that without knowing them. But I got to tell you, Kenneth Stokes has been around for a long time, and I have watched Jackson not excel under his tutelage. And does he not really understand why those neighborhoods don't have constant murders in Fondren and in Belhaven? And in Fondren and in Belhaven, there are all races of people, not necessarily a racial issue, but it's because those communities have not normalized murders, not normalized violence. They don't accept a culture of violence in those communities. And I'm sure that there are communities of all different kinds of colors all throughout Mississippi where people move because in those communities, they do not accept a culture of violence. It's not normalized. It breaks my heart every time I see these. I mean, I'm a graduate of Jackson Public Schools. And when I see these young kids who just shoot somebody when they're 16 or 17 years old, just destroying their future going forward. There were certainly times when I was in high school where I had rivals in this or that, or I got into some fights or some altercations at places. I'm not a big fighter, but I never even thought about, well, you know what I could do? I could shoot the guy. And this has become normalized. And probably one of the biggest things in these communities that he's talking about, Fondren, Belhaven, or any other successful community where violence is not the norm, is that they raise their children, and most of those families in those neighborhoods are two-parent households. At least they started that way. And even if they're divorced and they're single parent, the moms and dads are still in the picture. Then Kenneth Stokes went on to say that, or he went this weekend to do a small protest at one of the gun shows. That'll do it. Yeah, that'll do it. And this is where his focus is. Call for a ceasefire. Say it's not fair that it's in these communities and not in Belhaven and Fondren. And then go to a gun show. I can't imagine a least effective as far as solving a problem strategy than that. But I guess it's probably good for getting your name and your cap in front of cameras. But it's easy. I mean, this is really kind of the human condition. It's why we don't solve problems in the United States by and large. We always look for the easy things. You look to the border, you say, we just want a wall. You think there's terrorism, so you just say, well, we got to kill all the terrorists, not understand the complexity of those issues. I mean, everything we're looking for easy. So Kenneth Stokes just thinks these are easy things to do. I'll blame other people, and I'll boycott the gun show. I'll protest the gun show, and that'll be it. When really the racism that Kenneth Stokes should be tackling is a welfare system that has trapped large segments of his community. I got to tell you, that might have been racist. This was back under LBJ, who couched himself as this champion of the underserved in America, but it's pretty widely known within his private comments that he was no ally of the black community. It's not easy, but you got to tackle the education system that refuses to educate the community to any reasonable standard that would lead to levels of success. But there's absolutely no accountability for those areas. And there's just a ton of excuses. And I started looking at this, you know, the the broken home family, broken families, to anybody, and it, whether it is black or white, but the black community has got an issue with this, and particularly in the inner cities. It is such a huge, but it's not easy. It's easier to go out and just protest a gun show. You just show up, you wave some signs, you wait for the media to show up, you go home, you've accomplished absolutely nothing, but you've gotten your name out there, and it looks like you're trying to do something. And call for a ceasefire and then go home. He got his media coverage. He can go home. It doesn't matter. Like I say, as long as the issue is alive, he's got something to talk about and get attention for himself. 70% of black children are born to single mothers right now. It's about half of that in the white community. And I don't know if Stokes is able to comprehend that that is actually an issue. I've never heard him speak to that. Maybe he does. But it is a much more difficult issue to address. It's easier to just blame somebody else or blame the gun shows or blame any of the other things. Because I want you to listen to these statistics. I looked these things up for broken homes. And I'm kind of preaching to the choir. A lot of conservatives have been pointing to these things for years. Now you don't dare point to them because you'd be labeled a racist. But these are not race-specific statistics. These are just the prevalence of single-parent homes. And God love you if you're a single mom out there, single dad. I've been a single dad. It's not easy. I got to tell you, it is not. But to do it right is difficult. To phone it in is pretty easy. And it's pretty difficult, particularly if you live at the poverty level and you're having to work two, three jobs. Pretty hard to raise children by yourself. And this problem is obviously never addressed. In 1996, 70% of inmates in state juvenile detention centers serving long sentences were raised by single mothers. The proportion of single-parent households in a community predicts its rate of violent crime and burglary, but the community's poverty level does not. I mean, that is really something to think about right there. The proportion of single-parent households in a community predicts its rate of violent crime and burglary, but the community's poverty level does not. See, poor communities with intact families do not have these problems. We can't even blame incomes and poverty for violence in a culture of criminality. Plenty of poor people out there never do anything wrong. Never try to prey on other people. It's not even that. But the proportion of single-parent households. That was according to D.A. Smith and G.R. Ganjura, Social Structure and Criminal Victimization. 72% of juvenile murderers and 60% of rapists come from single-mother homes. After controlling for single motherhood, the differences between black and white crime rates disappeared. Disappeared. Can anybody really comprehend what that means? It means that Kenneth Stokes, to anybody else who wants to pontificate about this issue, it seems to me that you would really make a big impact if you addressed the family structure in your society rather than the gun shows or rather the pointing to the naming the neighborhoods that don't have the culture of violence that are primarily two-parent households. That's the problem. It has nothing to do with race. There's plenty of black people living in Bellhaven, plenty of black people living in Fondren. Those areas are a little bit more expensive. You know how you get a more expensive home? You have two intact parents working together, probably both working jobs. You can afford to live somewhere nicer, get you into, I mean, it's so obvious. Yeah, I hear absolutely nobody talking about it. I don't know if the churches are talking about it. I certainly don't hear it out of political leadership. After controlling for single motherhood, the difference between black and white crime rates disappeared. This is interesting. It was from the Progressive Policy Institute, quoted by David Blankenhorn, in his report that he did, Fatherless America, Controlling Our Most Urgent Social Problem. This was back in 1990. This was a progressive group. And their first, the thing that they said to focus on, again, 30 years ago, they were pointing out that fatherlessness was the thing that was really causing the problems and what they should be focusing on. I've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, good morning. It's Derek. How you doing?
Hey, good, Derek. What's going on?
Hey, not much, man. Hey, look, you know, you're hitting on a subject just like those people those kids that was down there fighting at the Crawfish Festival. You know, I think if we go back to the days of truancy officers and holding the parents accountable. I think a lot of this stuff will end, because what parents do is when you got an event like that or like the mall or something like that, they just drop their kids off and keep on going, just showing you just how absentee they are.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know about you, but growing up, look, my mom was not easy on me. She expected certain things from me. I had responsibilities. But it was my dad who was really not it kind of took a lot to tick him off. But I tell you, one of the biggest lessons I learned and passed on to the way I fathered my children was that, you know, I was always going to get into a little bit of trouble. But there was that line where I didn't want to cross, because then I knew my dad was going to get involved. And that scared the bejesus out of me. That's when it really started to happen. If you took away that line, there's no telling what I would have turned out.
Yeah, well put it like this. Do you remember that old cartoon, "Wait till your father gets home"?
Exactly. Yeah.
Those are some of the words you did not want to hear. You know you messed up when you had to wait till your dad, because it was the wait enough was punishment.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And I can't tell you how many times, and that was really, you know, when I raised my children, I love to have fun with my kids. I like to be light. I wanted my children to have fun. I gave them broad freedoms because they earned them. They didn't do anything wrong. But boy, when they got to that line, I flicked a switch. And I let them know that was unacceptable. And they stopped getting to that line the same way I kind of did with my dad. And moms can do this, too. I mean, women can certainly lay down the law in their homes, too. But it's tough to be everything.
But not quite. I'm going to tell you why. Because the mother's job is the emotional side.
Yeah, you're right.
That's where that comes from. And, you know, a lot of times a mother will try to intervene, especially their favorite child, if they felt like the father was being too harsh. But, you know, me being in a blended family, that was one of the things that was understood from the get-go, you know, that disrespect won't be tolerated. But she had already been doing a good job with those boys prior to me coming into the marriage, right? And I just, two of my sons, which I don't use the word stepchildren, and my biological son finished swim school. So guess what they're going to be rewarded with, probably? Jet skis.
Dang. I wish you'd been my dad.
But see, like right now, you know, you were saying how you had that fear. I still have it to this day. My mom and dad are still happily married, retired, and traveling and everything like that. And my dad runs charter buses, too. And my wife and her family chartered him for a trip. And when we got to Kansas City, Missouri, the planning committee of the family reunion asked if he would be willing to take the family on tours of the city. And I looked at my wife. I was like, yeah, my aunt wants you to ask your dad. I come in a lot. I said, Dad, they want to talk to you. And then I turn around and I shut what they call the hiccup.
Yeah.
And they were one. They said, why you didn't say anything? I said, look, I am still a child in my father's eyes. I do not get involved in his business. When he is talking to somebody, I shit what they call the H-E double hockey sticks up.
I tell you what, it is very interesting. It's a psychological thing. It's almost off topic, but it's important to this, is that, you know, as a 50-year-old man, there's still times in the back of my head when you're thinking about doing something and you just think, what would my dad say about this? Am I going to get, you know, would he think this is stupid? Would he, you know, I mean, it holds on to you for the rest of your life. That level of discipline and that line is what stops. Like I say, I mean, I couldn't have imagined thinking about picking up a gun in high school when I got into some altercation. You know, I was a public school kid, and sometimes we get into altercations with the private school kids in the Crystal parking lot. That was kind of the place where everybody hung out and is almost assured to get a fight. But I couldn't imagine in the life of me saying, oh, you know what I might do? I might kill the guy. No, I was hoping I didn't get beat up, because that wasn't even a thought. And these kids are throwing their lives away. And it is because there's no expectations of, there's no line that stops them from crossing these things. Nobody's taught them that line.
And again, like I said, we're rewarding bad behavior. And in the black community, the single black mother always gets a free pass every single time. You know, and it's not necessarily in society. Look at shows like Maury Povich and shows like Lauren Lake, some despicable, disgusting shows.
Yes.
To where the woman can be just, you know, everything on the checklist of a hooker, but she gets a free pass.
Right.
You know, I once heard a guy named Kevin Samuels say this. He's a relationship guy on YouTube. He said, we need to bring shaming back. He said, because one of the things I get so sick of looking at is shows like 16 and Pregnant, and then people out here having dang baby showers, decorating the teenage pregnant mothers, the pregnant, I'm not going to call her mother, the teenage pregnant girl decorating her belly and stuff like that and glorifying this stuff. I'm like, who in the devil glorifies this?
Yes.
My daughter. And I'll let you go. My daughter came to me one day. She's like, can I borrow some money to buy my friend a present? I was like, yeah. I said, is it a birthday? No, it's a baby shower. And I just paused. I said, well, not only am I not giving you money for that, you will not be going to that baby shower. I was like, what parent glorifies this? You know, mom said I could. I said, but your dad just said you couldn't. End of discussion.
And there you go. Yeah, I mean, well, let me ask you. I mean, are any of the churches speaking up about this on a consistent basis? I mean, this is a systemic problem when you've got 70%, 7 out of 10 children are born into these. And when I come back after this next break, I've got more statistics on these single family homes. I mean, it is the existential threat to anybody. It doesn't matter what race, white, Hispanic, black, the single family homes. And again, right. I mean, my sympathies to people who, you know, lose a husband or divorces are natural. But
that's totally different.
Yeah, it's different.
See, like with my wife, she's a widow. That foundation was laid when he left.
Right.
My brother passed away. The foundation was laid to his children, you know. And, you know, one's already going to the military. One's in a private school up there in Memphis because his daddy left him a pretty good, pretty good inheritance. And then his daughter had a full scholarship at Tennessee State.
Because
so he laid the foundation. You know, being a widow is different.
Right,
you know,
right. And what you're talking about, too, is that dad took care of his children in death. I mean, he even planned for them to be able to provide for them should something happen to him, and it sounds like it did. And that's that influence that is missing in 70% of these homes.
My nephew goes to one of those private schools up there in Memphis where they wear the jackets with the shield on it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you again real quick, and then I got to jump to a break. But, I mean, are the churches talking about this at all?
No, because the churches are afraid of losing that mighty dollar. And you got a few that still hold steadfast that will take a woman that's pregnant out of wedlock, remove her from all her positions, and quote-unquote sit her down. It's what we call, it's the same as silencing. Are you familiar with being sat down? In the black church, they call it being sat down. But, you know, I think in like Catholic church or other churches, they call it being silenced. I've only known of one in here in Jackson that did that. A coworker of my wife's who plotted against our baby, who was born in wedlock, plotted against her having a baby shower. Then fast forward, she gets pregnant out of wedlock. They have one for her, but then her pastor calls her in and removes her from all the departments she was in, all the positions she held, and everything. And I was shocked to even know that there was a pastor that actually done that. I'm not sure what church it was, but since I've been living in this area, which has been about 10 years, I've only known of one church to actually do it.
Well, I tell you what, they are doing their community a huge disservice. And it is, I mean, because it is just like parenting, really. You know, I know what you mean about shaming. You know, that's never really my intention. But I didn't try to shame my children. But if I saw them going down a path that I thought was going to really hurt them, continuing to go on, it doesn't matter if it's a toddler touching a stove, hot stove, you stop them for their own good. It's not about shaming. It's about telling people, do you know how much harder your life is going to be if you get pregnant in high school or in college or in your 20s or your 30s? And the guy has no intention of helping you raise this child. Do you know how difficult that's going to be for you? Do you know the outcome for your child statistically is not good? I mean, to overcome that lack of a father, you're going to have to work three times as hard as a couple that's together would. And so it's a tough love situation that seems to be missing, because this is not serving these young girls. And it's not only young girls. I mean, there's 20s and 30s and everybody who's just having children and not expecting a dad in the home anymore. It is hurting them. And it seems like the pastors should be the ones that say, look, we don't do this because we don't like you. We don't do this because nobody makes a mistake. We do this because to set this expectation will help you avoid a great deal of pain and troubles going forward. But they won't do it.
Well, when I say bring shaming back, I don't mean just put you out there and shun you and embarrass you. But don't glorify it either.
Right. Make it not an accepted part of culture where it's just, you know, just where it's nothing.
And I'll go so far as to say this. I don't think certain welfare benefits should be available to people who just lay up and have babies out of wedlock.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. The welfare system has enslaved people. It has destroyed communities. I mean, destroyed.
You know,
and I believe
you know
that was a racist plot.
That we ever done, too? Oh, I'm sorry, I mean to talk over you, but do you know the biggest travesty that we've done? allow out of wedlock teenage pregnancy to remain in the public school. That's the biggest travesty we ever done.
Yeah.
So put them in some type of trade program, teach them how to take care of their baby, and, you know, go from there. Don't glorify it. Don't put them in there so they can infect everybody else with that, you know, messed up parenting. Now, it may sound harsh, but good Lord, everything else isn't working.
Well, they need specialized help. I mean, they need to be in a structure that prepares them to be good parents. They don't need, they no longer need geology or music appreciation classes. What they now need, if they've gotten themselves into a situation of being a single mom in their high school years, they need parenting classes because they have just signed up for a world of problems. I mean, you know, so but anyway, look, we could talk about it forever. I certainly appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. When I come back, I mean, some of these other statistics on these single family homes, they are stunning. I mean, the problems that come from this. Again, Kenneth Stokes, you want to do something for your community? Get away from the gun shows and start talking about some of these things. I mean, actually help the people create a better future for themselves. Standing at a gun show is not doing anything. It's not doing it. Not to even mention the whole gun debate on where criminals get guns and all the rest of the stuff. I mean, it's ineffective on that too. But the bottom line is if these people want to do something for their community, but I don't think they do. They just want to keep the issue alive because it gets them a bunch of attention. Be right back.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm telling you, Kenneth Stokes set me off because I'm just so sick of watching these, you know, communities. And when you were calling for a ceasefire in your state's capital, you've got an issue. And it's not gun shows that create that issue. There's gun shows in a lot of places all over this country every single weekend that don't have problems with violence that need to have a ceasefire issued. Kind of would make you think, maybe it's not the gun shows. Listen to these statistics on children brought up in single mother homes. Right? And, you know, so much of this, I mean, I would pretty much say the cases where this doesn't manifest, because there's a lot of good single moms that have other support groups. But the expectation of, well, we're just not worried about that traditional family thing. That's old thinking. Well, that old thinking worked a lot better than this new thinking, I'll tell you that. Listen to this. Five times more likely to make, this is children brought up in single mother homes are five times more likely to commit suicide. Nine times more likely to drop out of high school. 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances. 14 times more likely to commit rape. 20 times more likely to end up in prison. And 32 times more likely to run away from home. I mean, so when I say, why aren't the churches talking out about this? Why is this not the focus of shifting the thinking of any community? Black, white, brown. Can you still say yellow with Asian? I think that's supposed to be racist. It's just when you're announcing. I mean, I'm not white, technically. But anyway, I digress. Doesn't matter what community it is. It seems like you would want to direct that community to where the kids are not 32 times more likely to run away from home or 20 times more likely to end up in prison. This is just one of those things that you just look at when you see the statistics and you think, oh, okay, well, it kind of seems like this is where our focus should be. To me, it's as easy as diabetes. We focus a lot on, well, now we've got machines where you don't have to prick your finger and you can wear the monitor all day and it goes to your smartphone. Well, that's a great innovation. And I'm sure if I had diabetes, I would get sick of sticking my finger too, so that's great. But could we maybe think about why so many people are becoming diabetic? Is there any room for that? And it may really come down to the fact that there's no money. There's no money for everyone from Kenneth Stokes on up the ladder. And we're going to get to, don't worry, we're going to get to the founder of Black Lives Matter. It was the other kind of the dovetail of this thing. Because the race baiters and the race hustlers, sometimes the solutions are so obvious. Now, look, the white community does the same thing. This must be human nature with people. On a whole host of issues, every community does these things. I hear a lot of white people whining about China taking our jobs. They typically do this when they're in the car talking to someone on their way to Walmart to buy a bunch of Chinese goods for the last 30 years. Businesses were begging them to buy American, and they ignored it. And now they say, well, China took all our jobs. No, China didn't take the jobs. You bought Chinese goods, which sent more money over there, which created more incentive for them to produce things over there. I mean, there's all kinds of issues in all communities where we just look at the symptoms and really just whine about it when the solutions are really pretty easy. And the single mother situation, and again, none of these statistics I'm reading to you are race-based at all. It doesn't matter if you are a white teen mother or a black teen mother. You got a child that's 10 times more likely to abuse chemicals. And the reason for that is because of it's trauma-based. Addiction is largely trauma-based. And it is more difficult to grow up in a single-parent household if you don't have a parent that is just really on their game. I don't know. I could have done it. I got to tell you right now. I think I could. I certainly would have thrown everything I had at it. But my expectation was never to have done that. And it certainly was never to knock up somebody and then move on with my life on down the road. But this is, you know, and this dovetails too, and I want to get to, I'll take a break and come back to it. He was a black counselor, black youth, talking about the Chauvin trial, too. The bars that are set on these things are really off kilter. And what he was saying was that he really wondered if there was fallout from the verdict, not if Derek Chauvin, this is the cop that kneeled on George Floyd's neck, if he was found guilty. He was really worried about that. Would there be some level of a race war? Would white people take to the streets to demand that Derek Chauvin be let go? And I can almost assure you that would not be the case, number one. I'm not a fan of what Derek Chauvin did. I know there's a lot of people trying to, well, he had so many drugs in the system, he was going to die anyway. I think that's a poor defense to take. I think the white community, by and large, has made too many excuses for the police, and the police have refused to cull their ranks of some real serious abuses. So when you let real abuses go on and then something happens, it's kind of hard to feign, you know, innocence on that. Always side with the police. There have been horrible shootings. There's horrible shootings of white people. You know, white people don't get out on the street. We got more riots last night from another shooting of a black kid up in Minneapolis. There have been some horrible shootings of white people. I can't remember the guy's name that was crawling down the hallway in a hotel, crying, unarmed, reached back to pull his shorts up, and they lit him up, killed him right there in the hallway of the hotel. There have been terrible shootings. I mean, there is so much blame to go around in this whole situation. Just about all sides of these things, but we're on such a bad path right now. I saw videos this morning. There was a White Lives Matter protest in Huntington Beach. How stupid is that? And I watched the people involved as they were getting into fistfights and screaming at each other's faces. Not a one of them looked like they had an IQ north of 80. And it's a shame. Well, you'll never reach those people. You can't really convince them of anything. They just can't intellectually get out of their own way. And they're causing all of us a tremendous amount of damage. I mean, I don't know, but there's plenty to talk to about that, but we're going to get to, too, and it'll probably be first of the next hour. I mean, exactly how this race baiting pays off. And if people would, you know, my whole show is based on figuring out you've been conned, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you've been conned. Whether you're black or you're white, you've been conned. You're empowering the people who really get off on all your troubles because all they do is just tell you they're going to fix them and blame somebody else, but they have no intention of fixing them. That's where they get their power. That's what this whole show is based on. And this woman who ran the Black Lives Matter movement, boy, didn't she bolster that idea that people have been conned. I'll be right back. All
night with the King. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
You know, we've been living in this age of data, right? We're constantly told with the COVID stuff, we got to study the data. We go, as soon as we get more data in on this or data in on that, we make decisions. Of course, with COVID, they basically just fudged data or just made up science to fit what they wanted to say. But I mean, you would really think if you want to address crime and violence in the United States, we should have plenty of data. We've got the largest incarcerated population on planet Earth. See, to all you conservatives out there who just say, well, we just need to keep building more jails and stack them like cordwood. I got to tell you, that is not working. That is not working. That is no different than what Kenneth Stokes is doing, in my estimation. It is just addressing a symptom, trying to say something easy. Oh, building prisons is easy. Locking people away is just easy. But we've been doing that for decades. It doesn't work. We've got the largest population of prisoners on planet Earth. It'd be pretty easy to do a pretty deep dive study to figure out what leads people to a life of crime. And I think a lot of people are doing that. It's just apparently nobody is really listening to it or certainly not addressing any of those issues.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you love me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Talking today about, we're just whistling past so many big issues. We just whistle right past them. And everybody thinks the other side does. That's the funny thing to me as an observer. People want to build a wall to stop illegal immigration, but you won't consider that the drug war is actually squeezing people out of Central America and Mexico like a tube of toothpaste because you've turned those places into narco-terrorist hotspots. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Nope. It's just, You look at crime and violence and communities across the country. It's not poverty. It turns out it's a lot of fatherless homes. No, we don't want to talk about that, because that doesn't fit with what I already think. It's almost comical when you look at the hustlers, of whether it's racial stuff or it doesn't matter. There's just hustlers everywhere. These people who you see on your television every night on the news, 99% hustlers, I guess. The wars are not about American security. The wars are for profit. They're for-profit wars. It is the hustlers who run these things, who make massive amounts of money on fighting endless wars, that are doing it. It has nothing to do with national security. Nothing. And this was one of the big things to watch. And they got me originally. They got me. They scared me of terrorism. 9/11, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive event to make me give away a ton of my civil liberties, allow the government to spy on me, track me, trace me, molest me at the airport. But these things are never about national security. I mean, it's so many of these things are not about what you're led to believe in the racial issues in this country. It's fun to watch some of the hustlers get outed. It doesn't necessarily seem to make any difference. But for me, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I've been talking about race hustlers here for the past couple of weeks. I don't really know why I got started on it. I can't remember exactly. It wasn't even Chauvin's trial, but I guess just the endless streams of stoking of racial hostilities by these people who profit from these things. And again, I led off the show with Booker T. Washington's quotes about this. Booker T. Washington said there is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. And that was certainly on display in the last few days as it came out as protests broke out across the country in the name of Black Lives Matter. The group's co-founder went on a real estate buying binge, snagging four high-end homes for $3.2 million in the U.S. alone, according to property records. Patrice Khan Cullis, 37, also eyed property in the Bahamas at an ultra-exclusive resort where Justin Timberlake and Tiger Woods both have homes. This was from the New York Post. It was reported in several different outlets. She was talking about some serious real estate down there. They were like $5 to $20 million just for a condo down there in the Bahamas for this Marxist, so-called Marxist communist leader of Black Lives Matter. The self-described Marxist last month purchased a $1.4 million home on a secluded road a short drive from Malibu in Los Angeles, according to a report. This was in the Topanga Canyon. She's got two houses on a quarter lot. Very interesting, because a lot of people were pointing out that Topanga Canyon is like 1.6% black. This is your Marxist. Okay, so number one, this woman supposedly is just anti-capitalist, but she has not minded going off on a real estate spending spree. She reminds me of Bernie Sanders, the socialist, with his $600,000 vacation home. He's a millionaire. How does a socialist with a straight face extol the virtues of socialism and acquire more than $1 million in cash that they could just dole out to whoever they wanted to? And there's people are certainly starting to, I mean, and this is down to people like George Floyd's family. I mean, this is the victims, the people that are put on the posters for Black Lives Matter are starting to question, hey, where's all this money going? Well, it's kind of turning out. We know where it goes. It goes to the top. This is the same as the wars that the, and it's a lot of Republicans got really rich on that. It's the same as pharmaceuticals. Again, you think it's just some accident where one of the only countries or one of two countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical advertising and Medicare, Medicaid couldn't negotiate drug prices, and then eight of the nine bill sponsors of Medicare Part D parachuted out to work for Big Pharma, making $1 million plus a year. They didn't care about getting prescriptions, helping old people get their prescriptions. A lot of you out there use Medicare Part D, and you probably think it's a godsend. Well, it was a grift, is what it was. You're actually getting younger people to pay for your drugs now. It's a victory to you and your pocketbook. It's costing the American taxpayer a ton. It's adding to the debt. And the people who put it together didn't give a crap about giving you the drugs you wanted. The head guy, what was the guy's name? Billy Towson from Louisiana, who spearheaded the effort. He made $2 million a year when he quit after that term. Once he passed the prescription drug benefit, he ended up heading up pharma, the pharmaceutical lobby, for $2 million a year. Does anybody actually believe that he took that on? He just really wanted to see senior citizens have more affordable prescriptions. It just happened as a coincidence that he ended up making $2 million a year heading up the pharma lobby, after passing a law that assured pharmaceutical companies endless profits. That's just a coincidence. Last year, Colors, I should know how to pronounce this woman's name, head of Black Lives Matter. She and her spouse, Jania Khan, ventured to Georgia to acquire a fourth home, a quote-unquote custom ranch, on 3.2 rural acres in Conyers, featuring a private airplane hangar with a studio apartment above it and the use of a 2,500-foot paved grass community runway that can accommodate a small airplane. This is the communist Marxist leader of Black Lives Matter. You know, and I'll tell you another thing about Black Lives Matter and this whole movement, too. I hold them responsible for the death of this latest kid up in Minneapolis. Now, I don't know the details of that case, but what it sounds like is, and we've seen other instances of that. We had this second lieutenant, or this lieutenant in the military who was pepper sprayed. The cops do look like they lost their mind, but, you know, I mean, it is just a self-feeding beast, this interaction between the police and the communities. More violence makes the police more on edge police accelerate problems that they probably should de-escalate instead. Everybody's all tense. But Black Lives Matter convinced, now this kid yesterday in Minneapolis, my understanding of the case is that he got out of the car and did whatever, and they jumped back in the car and started to leave, and they shot him. And this is Black Lives Matter telling everybody, you're being hunted by the police. See, they feed the narrative that as soon as you encounter a police officer, your life's in danger. So you, when your life's in danger, you do things you probably shouldn't, maybe wouldn't normally do when you're thinking clearly and you can just calmly interact with somebody. But Black Lives Matter has convinced you that you're being hunted. So this kid might have had a real fear of the police that was taught to him by groups like Black Lives Matter and the rest of the race hustlers. So he jumps back in the car. They shoot him. We'll find out the details of this. I don't know if the cops were in the wrong. I don't know what this kid was doing. Apparently had a warrant out for his arrest, but there's also people saying that he was pulled over for an air freshener violation. Let's hope that that's not the case, because I will let the cops have it on that one. Well, they got him. He had an arrest warrant anyway. I don't care. There's no reason for an air freshener. This is the thing. We're so over-policed in this country. But bottom line, if this kid feared for his life just at the sight of police lights, this is because he's been conditioned to think this now. By Black Lives Matter, that points to every single interaction between police as a life or death struggle, which makes people very desperate to do stupid things. What else did this woman do? She's purchased, this is a home she bought for $415,000 for the proceeds of her book, quote, When They Call You a Terrorist. She's also signed a multi-platform deal with Warner Brothers. Some more Black Lives Matter material. Well, she is just on a spending spree. I mean, she's juicing the economy. She's creating jobs, I guess. how long until this woman has run out of the rail? I mean, the people who have supported Black Lives Matter financially should be incensed. Everybody's asking where this money's going. Well, we're starting to see now, aren't we? There's another year she bought a three-bedroom, 1.5-bathroom home in Inglewood for $510,000. It's now worth about $800,000. Now, I'll tell you, when you look at California real estate, though, $510,000 house is nothing like it should be here. But the bottom line is she is rolling in it. 2 years later, let's see, a $590,000 house here. worth $720 now. Apparently, the woman's got four homes now. This is your Marxist leader of Black Lives Matter. I don't know. Maybe Kenneth Stokes just hasn't really figured out how to make it pay off like that. I don't know. As Kenneth Stokes, I think Benny Thompson has figured out how to enrich himself. I don't know if Kenneth Stokes, I don't get the sense that he's really fully monetized what he's doing. He may just not be swift enough to really get the grift going. It certainly has gotten him popularity that he probably wouldn't deserve in any other field. But maybe he has not figured out exactly how to monetize it yet. But there's your Black Lives Matter person. And again, it's in everything. It's in the warmongers. It's in the drug pushers, the legal prescription drug pushers and leadership areas. It's in every little area where anywhere they say that they're trying to protect you from something, you can guarantee that they are making a ton of money doing it. There are very few angels out there worth following, but on so many of these issues, pharmaceuticals, we could look to what is the root cause of why people need so many drugs. Well, we don't. We talk about access to more affordable drugs. We don't look at why people need so many drugs. Race issues, we don't look at why communities are suffering violence, why their communities are having problems. We don't want to look at that. It's easier to go just stand in front of a gun show and say that's the problem. And it may be when I look at the protest, the White Lives Matter faced off with Black Lives Matter, fighting in the streets, screaming at each other. Neither one of you have any power over the other person. You're not looking at the right people, but just doesn't stop people from fighting in the streets. And when I watch footage of that stuff, there's just room temperature IQs littered throughout that thing. So maybe that's, you know, maybe we're just not advanced enough as a country anymore to actually diagnose our own problems and start to solve any of them. But Black Lives Matter, it's good for somebody. And apparently it's one of the co-founders who's on the real estate buying spree.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, when it comes to any marginalized group, if that's the way to phrase that, I don't know, or group that's suffered problems. Well, I don't know. I really don't know the term for it at this point. I have to think through it. It seems to be the best model is the we'll show them model. You know, not in a violent way, not in a revenge way, but, maybe a soft revenge way. And it's got some real precedent out there. You look at Asian Americans. You know, Asian Americans were rounded up and put into camps in the United States during World War II. They came out and suddenly they're dominating our universities. I mean, they accomplished incredible things as a culture. They just said, well, you know, they did this to us, but we'll show them. Look at the Black community. Blacks shut out of professional sports, separate leagues for everybody. Jackie Robinson made his way into professional baseball, and now go look at a baseball team. You want to talk about diversity. Football is the same way. I was looking up to see who the first Black football player was, and I actually see different accounts here. Somebody named Fritz is in one person. I don't know. But it's 1946, I think, before the first Black player was allowed to sign a contract in the NFL. Here in the United States, and boy, did you show us. You showed everybody. We can excel at something. You know, they could do that with the schools, too. Oh, you trying to keep us down here, trying to keep us down there. We'll show you. We'll have the best schools in the world. You could have public schools with the resources they have right now. You don't even have to give them more money because money really is not solving anything. You could have public schools. It is possible to do this. And they do this with things called charter schools, where for even less money than most public schools, most less than they get per student for public education, they create these just incredible schools. They could do that all over the place with schools. You could have better education at some JPS schools, or if the community would allow their leadership to get out of the way and allow more charter schools, you could have charter schools that are better than the private schools around here. It's possible. Those things, and it would be we'll show you. It seems like a very productive use of maybe some levels of anger, which certainly, historically, I can see why groups of people would have a chip on their shoulder. All the way down to the Irish who were abused when they came over here. There's so many. I think it's probably a pretty motivating way to look at things. Oh, you don't think we can do this? You don't think we can do that? And what's so funny is to watch white liberals right now around this Georgia voting law stuff. Whether it's black or whites who are going after Georgia or these CEOs. They just recently had a conference call with like 100 CEOs. They're going to be threatening states that do more voter, they call them restrictive voting stuff. But, you know, the laws that were passed in Georgia are not racial laws. They're the same laws for everybody. Everybody's got to get to one of the drop boxes. Everybody's got to vote within the same period of days. I can't remember what it was, 9 or 11 days, whatever they did. It's got early voting. It's got absentee voting. Everybody's got to abide by the same laws. But the way they're couching this is that, well, it's not a problem for the white community to make it to the polls within these 9 or 11 days. But we think it's a problem for the minority community. I think that's so sick. It feels really racist to me. Because, again, this was not something that was just put on the black community. The white community has got to adhere to it, too. But nobody's complaining that whites are being disenfranchised. And I guess the thinking of people who are screaming about the Georgia voting laws believe that, oh, white people are completely capable of getting a driver's license, as are Asians and American Indians and everybody else. We just think that the minority community, the black community, they can't get driver's licenses. I mean, how racist is that? Yeah, I think if you give white people 9 days to show up and vote, they'll make it. We think that white people can show up in line and bring their own water or whatever other else issue you want to say is restrictive on the minority community. The assumed fact from all of the consternation I've seen by everybody in the media is that, well, yeah, whites can do all these things, that they're all the hurdles. They can overcome all these hurdles, but minority communities can't. That's racist to me. These are not special hurdles put in front of the minority community. They're the same hurdles put in front of everybody. And you can't even really consider them hurdles. They're just, they're things you've got to do. If you can't swing by a poll in 9 days and bring an ID and a bottle of water, how badly did you really want to vote in the first place? Personally, I think fewer people should vote. I'm not all about this. Oh, I think everybody should vote, and even shaming people who don't vote. Have you seen our choices? I kind of think some of the most sane people among us, the smartest people among us, can look at a slate of candidates here in the United States these days and just go, nah, not worth the trouble. I don't have a problem with somebody not voting. Say, well, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Are you kidding me? I haven't voted for any of these people running things. Outside of Trump in 2016, I haven't voted for a winner, so all of the problems are people that y'all voted for, not me. I should be able to complain. You're the ones that shouldn't. But I think there is a serious, it's infantilization. I talk about it a lot here. It's victimization. You know, it's casting people as victims, but it feels like racist to me. It feels like if you put out a bunch of rules and you think one race can succeed within that structure of rules and one race cannot, that really feels racist to me. But of course, it's not couched that way. We'll probably talk later. I got to get this list of 100 CEOs that are going around saying that they're going to punish any states that enact any voting laws similar to Georgia. This is your corporate America. You know, the ones that have been fed hand over fist over the past year while the small business community has been just decimated. Woo, boy, kind of hard to even boycott most of these people. And a lot of people say they will, but they really won't. They'll talk a lot about it on Facebook, but then they'll go to Walmart when they need something. And, you know. Anyway, I think that any community that has underachieved or finds itself lagging behind in any metrics of success or peace and stability, you ought to try the we'll show them mentality. Not in a violent way, but in a we will overcome this stuff and show them how powerful we are. We will school our children better. We will have fewer children out of wedlock than other races because that makes it an easier path to success. There's so many ways you could really show them. The way that Jackie Robinson said, yeah, you don't have a black child. Let me show you what a black player can do in Major League Baseball. He just went in there and he showed them. That seems like a wildly more effective strategy than the Kenneth Stokes strategy. We're going to move on to something else when I come back. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, I do a show on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock. I do Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. And I love when a sponsor lines up with that. We've got a company advertising. We got a lot of good advertisers on WYAB. I hope people pay attention to our advertisers and go to their businesses. These are capitalist enterprises out here, real mom and pop shops that advertise here on WYAB, and WYAB does not take state funding. We're actually maybe the most capitalist station in the market here. And I'm sure the owner will tell you, being capitalist is not always a comfortable position to be in when you're not on the teat of the state government or the federal government here. But we've got an advertiser here. It's really interesting. It's kind of called my attention, even to my health show, that I need to do a segment on that. But this is Pure Air Consultants. And what they do is they'll come in and do duct cleaning. They say in a six-room house, you can collect 40 pounds of dust each year. And this can have all kinds of microbes in it, mold, fungi, and things like that in your ductwork that you're really not aware of. They come in and they clean this stuff out. And right now, if you call them and say WYAB sent you, they'll give you $100 off a duct cleaning. I have talked to friends over the past several years, and I'm kind of glad that we're talking about Pure Air Consultants because I need to do a segment on this, who have had some pretty weird health problems that they could not figure out and doctors couldn't figure out, and they suffered with these kind of chronic conditions, all from skin rashes to sinus issues, all kinds of little nagging health problems they just could not get a hold of, and then they moved. And they realized that they were having problems with some of the environmental things around their house. And these things like molds and mildews and fungi and stuff is affecting people in all kinds of weird ways. This is something, if you've got nagging health conditions you can't figure out, this may be something you need to look at. You can check out Pure Air Consultants at pureairconsultants.com. You can also call them at 601-939-7420, 601-939-7420. And getting your ducts cleaned is a good maintenance thing just to do anyway. But I'm telling you, people will find if you have better air quality in your house, you will be healthier all around. And that's what Pure Air Consultants do. Make sure you mention that you heard about them on WYAB. They'll give you $100 off your cleaning. And I got to tell you, I had a house that had some duct issues. We ended up having to replace the entire duct thing. It was a full gut and strip, and so we had the roof out, and I mean the roof out, the ceilings out. So we were that was not cheap. Yeah, I certainly would have rather have just gotten my ducts cleaned. It just wasn't an issue for this particular home, but it certainly is much more reasonable than having to replace ductwork. So get your ducts cleaned. It may be something that really improves your health. A lot of people don't know they're suffering from problems that are associated with the air circulating in your home. PureAirConsultants.com. Speaking of that, I saw footage of the St. Vincent volcano that erupted this weekend. What I found kind of interesting is I've got this, you know, I've got a different eye for news than most people do, but I saw all these people on St. Vincent wearing a mask, and I just went, ah, finally. Finally, a legitimate reason to wear a mask. I am not a mask person for the virus. I'm not pulling a mask out of a box that says this does not protect you of coronavirus and then going out and doing the religious ritual of virtue signaling through a mask. But if I go to St. Vincent, you know what I would do? I'd slap a mask on because they've got volcanic dust around there. I wouldn't want that stuff in my lungs. It was just nice to see people wearing masks for a legitimate purpose for a change. I think we should send all of our masks to St. Vincent because they are going to need those things. You do not want to inhale that stuff. If we have a volcanic eruption, and I was surprised to find out a couple of years ago, we've got a giant caldera under Mississippi. We used to have a volcano here. I guess we could at some point again. So if it goes off, should any of us still be standing, I will be on air recommending the mask because it will be effective for something like that. Of course, it didn't stop the St. Vincent authorities from going completely insane as they were rejecting people from leave. They were fleeing for their lives from what it looks like a nuclear winter after a volcano goes off, and they're telling them, you can't get on the ships to evacuate unless you've been vaccinated. So they're taking this imminent threat to people's health and life, and they're putting that behind, for some strange reason, and I just can only say insanity, they're putting that behind a remote chance that you might possibly get a virus that may or may not even manifest itself in any level of illness. And in the very rarest of occasions, it might make you sick and go to the hospital. And there's about a 1 in a million chance that you may die from it. These people are trying to flee for their lives and they're telling them, oh, no, we can't risk it. Someone might get a cold. So you got to stay on the island. You might die. Yeah, there's a good chance you're going to die, but at least we won't have... You won't spread a flu somewhere else down the road, maybe, possibly. It's absolutely insane. There has been a tiny bit of sanity on the mask front up in New Hampshire. Well, one person's sane. Of course, the school district that this man worked for was not. I'll play this report from New Hampshire. Another hero, much like the pastor we played a couple of weeks ago, who ran the cops and the health authorities out of his church, and I think it was Alberta, Canada. Of course, I believe he's paid a price for that. I think they've shut his church down, another church in Alberta, Canada. They boarded up with razor wire and fencing and then threw a black tarp across the front of it. I mean, stunning stuff. I don't care how scared you are of coronavirus, how much you support masks and lockdowns and all that stuff. It should really concern you when these Western countries are going after businesses or churches or schools in this manner. That should concern you. It's a crying shame it's not concerning a lot of people. Anyway, there's one sane person in New Hampshire, a state that I have great affinity for, by the way.
Track coach is out of a job after making it clear that he wasn't going to make his athletes wear masks. I'm Paula Evans.
And I'm David Wade. The former coach at Pembroke Academy says even though it cost him his job, he is not backing down from his beliefs.
See, that is a hero. There's very, very few of those. Very few of those that will actually put their money where their mouth is. This man was willing to lose his job over this thing.
WBZ's Michael Cross spoke with him today.
I just think people haven't pushed back, and I decided it was time to push back.
Brad Keyes was fired this week as the track and field coach at Pembroke Academy in Pembroke, New Hampshire, and he has been outspoken about it online.
I made my choice, he made his.
Keyes says he was not going to force his athletes to wear masks while competing.
Masks restrict breathing. There's no question about it, especially think about running full speed. The wind is in your face. It's shoving the mask back into your nose and your mouth.
He's one of my favorite people to run with.
Junior David Tesserman agrees with his former coach and is concerned about running with a mask on this spring.
It gets you really tired, especially on, you know, it's going to get up to 80 degrees soon, and it's going to be really hard for us to keep doing what we like to do.
The New Hampshire Interscholastic Athletic Association's outdoor track guidelines recommend that athletes wear a face covering during competition.
So they'll be separated by a lane, which is about 6 feet.
Key says the masks are okay while the team is on the bus. but he does not think they're necessary outdoors.
This is a controversial position that this man took. This school board. This is in a state whose motto is live free or die. How far have they strayed from that mantra? Live free or die is the state motto of New Hampshire. I spent a lot of time. I had relatives. My grandparents lived in New Hampshire. Went there every single year. I love New Hampshire. Beautiful place. Put it on your bucket list. If you've never seen the leaves change in New England, get up there one fall. It is worth an airplane ticket to see it. I love New Hampshire, but they used to be live free or die. Now they are. Kids got to wear a mask when they're running a track and field event. These are supposedly, I'll use air quotes in their studio, adults in charge of these policies to force these kids to wear a mask while they sprint. This coach said that he wanted to, quote, to make a point about people just accepting draconian restrictions, adding, quote, I just think people haven't pushed back and I decided it was time to push back. In a further blog post, the coach wrote, one of the fundamental parts of all of this is learning to play by the rules. The rules supposedly put in place in order to create a fair and level playing field to let everyone know what is expected and allowed, and then let the best man, woman, or team win. Except now we are adding arbitrary, senseless, ill-thought rules. This is just COVID is the latest example of that. We've been adding senseless, arbitrary rules to all kinds of things and, you know, regulations or laws for all us little people out there. This was a tweet from the WHO, World Health Organization. Let's see if there's a date on this thing. Yeah, this is July 1st of 2020. This is, well, you know, almost a year ago now. The WHO said, question, can people wear masks while exercising? Here's the answer from the WHO. People should, all caps, not wear a mask when exercising, as masks may reduce the ability to breathe comfortably. So I hope this teacher has taught his students a lesson, his athletes that he coaches a lesson in arbitrary rulemaking. Something that both liberals and conservatives should all learn. That just because it comes from the mountaintop, comes from the top, does not mean it is moral, ethical, or even effective to do. But at least this guy has taken a stand. He's lost his job for it. It'll be interesting to see if the Pembroke parents all just succumb to this, or if this is one of those rallying cries and they get this guy's job back. Let's hope. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment. Only got a few minutes left. You know, I mean, they are not going to let us up with this stuff. I'm looking at Drudge Report. The big headlines are WHO says the pandemic is at a critical point. Colorado new hotspot, which is interesting because I have a friend in Colorado. I've kind of keep up with Colorado because of my interest in her and think Colorado is a beautiful state. But boy, they've gone all in for the masks and everything else. How is it possible that Colorado has become a new hotspot? Isn't that odd? They are just not going to let us up from this stuff. And, you know, I was thinking this weekend, I had some bad storms come through on Friday and Saturday, I think, throughout Mississippi. It seems like we're getting them just about every week. This is natural. This is what happens. You know, weather changes. Today it's beautiful, and in a few days it may not be beautiful. I don't know if that's news to people. Now it needs to be extrapolated out into something having to do with cow farts in the SUV, but throughout my entire life and my historical readings, weather always changes. But these storms have been coming through and been a lot of winds. And I'm troubled by the number of reports I see of downed trees hitting people's homes, their cars. Occasionally people die when these trees fall down. And I'm just wondering how long before our loving government and bureaucrats It feels like there just needs to be some kind of a mandate on the size of trees we can have anywhere within the size of a structure, of any kind of structure that has people inside of it. Can we coexist with trees so close to our homes anymore? I think not. I think we need a clear cut. I mean, I guess the crepe myrtle is a pretty tree. Pretty fragile tree. Yeah, you know, just kind of waves with the breeze. Crepe myrtles would be okay. How long before the bureaucrats come out and mandate what kind of tree you can have and how far it's got to be away from your house and what size it can grow to and when you've got to go out and use your own money to cut down all those big trees that could someday, possibly, maybe, fall? Because this is the government that's been telling us for a long time, but particularly in the last year or so. They can protect us if we just give them enough power. They can take all the risk out of our lives, but I just keep seeing these needless stories of downed trees. They take down power lines, which cut off power to people. People need their electricity. There could be people who freeze to death or overheat during a summer month. I think it's time for the authorities to judge. Thomas Dobbs, where is he to speak up on tree height in Mississippi? This is just unacceptable risk as far as I can tell. And we need some government action because, you know, just because there's a risk there. I mean, this is how silly everything has gotten. I wanted to talk. I don't know, don't have a whole lot of time here, but I've been trying to kind of follow a little bit of the Matt Gaetz stuff. You know, Matt Gaetz may actually be in some trouble here. He may actually have a problem. And it certainly looks like, I certainly do not underestimate the media's wanting to take down anybody, particularly if they were a Trump supporter. And Matt Gaetz certainly stuck to Trump like glue, made him a hero in many circles. I don't trust politicians. I don't care who they align themselves with. I always know there's a lot of creepiness going on in Washington, D.C., and I'm smart enough to know it's not just the other side. But Matt Gaetz, at the very least, it looks like he might have had some kind of creepy friends, and he may actually have some issues. But one of the things that kind of drew my attention to it this weekend was that he's sending out fundraising letters. And there's a little thing that I don't know if people have noticed. Trump did this, too. I was quite disappointed to see that the Trump campaign had done this, too. But this was a tweet out from Mickey Kaus. He's a conservative guy, but he was pointing out the fact that a new fundraising email from Matt Gaetz, quote, "They are coming for me. Can I count on your support?" And within this desire to get contributions to his campaign, so I don't know how he's fighting this by using donor money, but they use, you know, this is just another version of never let a good crisis go to waste. The monthly recurring donation box comes pre-checked. Also pre-checked is a box to donate an additional unspecified amount automatically on April 30th. And I read a story last week about the fact that the Trump campaign had to refund a lot of money because they had pre-checked recurring contribution boxes when they went out and asked people to help contribute to the, Fight the Steal or whatever the name of his thing was. And some people made some pretty generous donations to the Trump campaign. And then suddenly a couple weeks, this actually was a draft automatically by your account, but because they pre-checked the box, or 2 weeks later, people had another draft taken out of their account for the same amount. And then 2 weeks after that, and usually people got wise to it by the fourth draft, so they stopped it and then had to file for a refund. So this is just politics. I guess these strategists and fundraisers and everything have thought another way they can fleece the American people. And I'm sure everybody does it, not just Donald Trump and Matt Gaetz. I'm sure this is something that they've put out there. I would imagine it's fairly new, or maybe we would have already heard about something like this, but a pretty disgusting thing to pre-check people for a contribution, because, you know, you look at these things in the small print, it's just like the end user agreements on all these tech platforms and apps and all these things. Nobody reads all of that stuff all down in the fine print, but to try to sneak people who are already out of the generosity, all the kindness of their heart or their support for a candidate would bother to part with, and I don't understand why anybody's giving money to any of these people, but to each his own. Out of the goodness of their own heart, they make a political contribution, and these politicians can't even take yes for an answer. They've got to go for a little bit more and trick you into doing it as a recurring contribution to your campaign is really quite amazing. It'd be one thing if they offered a box, but they don't. They are now pre-checking this. Trump campaign had to refund millions of dollars to people who had basically their accounts cleaned out. Because some people, like I said, made some pretty generous contributions, $8,000. I think one guy was $11,000 he made in a contribution. Next thing he knew, there was another $22,000 in two withdrawals that were taken out of his account. You know, talk about a way to turn some people off that are obviously some pretty big supporters of you, gank their accounts for triple what they thought they were giving you. That'll turn them off to you pretty quickly, but I'm sure there's enough people who don't cause a stink and people don't know what's going on, and suddenly your campaign coffers are full and they just move on to the next thing. Really, really pretty gross stuff. But Matt Gaetz, we'll see. And I don't know if it is subtle programming by the media. I've always felt like there was a little bit of a weird vibe by Matt Gaetz. That's unfair. I might give people a weird vibe. I don't know. That is, weird vibes are in the eye of the beholder. But we'll see exactly how this thing turns out. Of course, you know, he comes out and proclaims his innocence, says there's no way he's going to resign, but that is just stock and trade of politicians or anybody in the public eyes. Deny, 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 refuse to leave. And then when the proof gets overwhelming, turns out they lied. We'll see with Matt Gaetz. Don't know yet. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.